Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians in chapter number 1. Before we get into the Word of God, any man have a testimony tonight or?
Yeah, I want to praise God that I belong to church that believes in the benefits of the Lord and is willing to make a stand. That is a standard. It's a standard that we stand for. Just like that one over there. It's a standard. That's what the country stands for.
Amen. Thanks, Mick. You got a man tonight? A testimony? Brother Wilson? Amen. You had a men testimony tonight? JD? Amen. Amen. Macy's going to have a sibling. Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. You had a men? Lord's tugging on your heart. You should. Anybody else before we go? Loud.
I want to praise the Lord that He used me to do that and to be able to use my talent for that. But for me, I had to take a stand against some family to take a stand for that. And it wasn't an easy thing. But I had to obey the Lord, and I pray that God blesses it and blesses His church like He has in the past, so we can move forward and stand for the truth of the Word.
Amen. Amen. The Phillips. Lord. Anybody else before we keep going?
Do
Yeah. Comes from the man named Red himself. Yeah. Amen. Any other men? Go to the car. You had him in. Right, Colossians chapter number 1. Read a few verses with me real quick. We'll go to a couple of verses. In verse number 18, Colossians 1. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." That in all things he might have the preeminence. Turn over to the book of Revelation in chapter number 4. In the book of Revelation in chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. In verse number 11. In Revelation chapter 4. In verse number 11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Turn back to Psalm chapter 56, and we'll stay there for a little bit. In Psalm chapter 56. And while you're turning there to Psalm chapter number 56, we read in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 18 that our Lord God should have the preeminence in all things. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, we're reminded there in that verse that our God created all things. He's the creator of all things, and that all things were created. That's you and I also, but all things were created for His pleasure. So my point in reading those verses is this, for us, an understanding as we get into the message tonight, that God should be in first place in every area in our life. Everything we do ought to bring honor and glory and pleasure to our God. Everything we say, every place we go, everything we uphold, everything we preach, everything we listen to, everybody that we're with, it ought to be a reflection and a reminder that we are to give honor and praise to God. And in Psalm chapter 56 and in verse number 10 says this, "In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word." We are this year going to do our very best to celebrate the Word of God. We're going to give God the praise in His Word. We're going to give the Lord the praise in His Word, as this verse says. We want to give Him the praise and the honor that He is worthy of. And we're going to do that through the Word of God. I mean, we could just have a 52-week birthday party for the Bible and have cake and ice cream every Sunday. But then again, we would all pay for that. Very bad, all right? That wouldn't be good for us. But then that's not what celebrating is. By celebrating the Word of God, we're to celebrate it in His Word. What I think that means best is this, if we're truly going to give God the honor and we're going to praise Him, we need to do it in His Word. And how we do that is by obeying what the Word of God says. If we're going to give Him pleasure, if we're going to please Him, then we've got to obey Him. If we're going to do what's right, if we're going to bring Him and give Him the preeminence, then we've got to follow what the Word of God says to do. It would be hard, I mean, just put it in human terms, all right? If we're going to celebrate Brother Davis's birthday tonight, and we're celebrating his birthday, we're not going to say, "Hey, happy birthday," and then punch him in the face. Well, you know, that's not right. I mean, if we're respecting and celebrating him, then we're going to make him the guest of honor. We're going to treat him right. We're probably going to bring him a gift. We're going to do something to show that we're honoring him. If we're going to celebrate the Word of God, now listen, you can't celebrate the Word of God by living a life of disobedience to the Word of God. You can't celebrate the Word of God by indulging in some sin and knowing it's wrong, forgetting what the Bible says, and say, "I'm going to do my own will, I'm going to please my own self," and disregard God. You're not celebrating the Word of God. we're going to celebrate the Word of God, we're going to obey the Word of God. Let me ask you this question. Why do we have the Word? I mean, why did God give us this Bible? Why did God choose to give us His Word? Well, one reason why, I think we all would agree with this, or probably our first response is this, so we could be saved. I mean, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. If it weren't for the Word of God, we have no basis for our salvation. That's why I'm excited about the ministry that Brother Christensen's involved in, getting the Word of God translated to many other peoples and nations across this world and seeing it done correctly. That's why I'm excited about this year putting together our own John and Romans and the Word of God and taking them out and passing them out. People need the Word of God. If it weren't for the Word of God, we'd probably have no salvation. If it weren't for the Word of God, we wouldn't hear the truth. We wouldn't be able to have a faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I think we all understand this, that the Lord wants all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that salvation message is found in the Word of God. And so we're celebrating the Word of God. And one way we can celebrate the Word of God is by taking the Word of God and sharing it with a lost and dying world, that if they don't hear the truth, they're going to go to hell. So we celebrate the Word of God by sharing the Word of God. But then I really believe this. That's not the only reason why we have the Word of God. I believe we have the Word of God for other reasons as well. Turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy talks about the Word of God in chapter 2 and in chapter number 3. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 15. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse number 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Can I say this real quick? If we're standing for truth, you don't need to feel ashamed. I mean, that's one of the devil's great tools. Isn't that odd how he tries to make people who want to stand for truth to feel ashamed for some reason? I mean, you take it down to any aspect of life, you know, be it the Word of God. Maybe you're sitting at a hospital. Someone sees you reading your Bible and they walk up to you and say, "Hey, I love the Bible." And they show you their Bible. And you say, "Well, you know, I believe the Word of God's right here." And that's really a wrong translation. And most of them sit there and say, "Oh, yeah, me too." Because there's a voice inside our head saying, "Well, you'd be ashamed to death to tell them anything about that." We get ashamed for standing for truth. There are some who honestly, I believe that would love to dress godly and dress righteously, but they know they're going to have to go out and be around a whole lot of people that don't, and so they don't want to dress righteous because they don't want to feel odd. It's sad we feel ashamed for truth sometimes. Folks, we don't need to be ashamed when we're standing for truth. Amen! We don't need to feel ashamed when we're standing for the truth. And here in this verse, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." You know why you don't need to be shamed? Because you rightly divided the Word of truth. If you're standing for the Word of God, you have no reason to be ashamed. Have no reason to be ashamed if you can base what you're doing upon God's holy Word. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. It says, "And that from a child," 3:15, "and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible says here that, I think it's important to note a couple of things about just those two verses, or the two passages that we read. I think it's important because we're both talking about the Word of God. I think it's very important first to notice this, and that mom and dad notice this. We should be teaching our children when they're a child the Word of God. Teaching them truth when they're a child. When God blesses you with children, you ought to get busy immediately teaching them the truth. Teaching them God's Word. The Bible says here that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. Now he's talking about Timothy, who learned it from Eunice and Lois's mother and grandmother. But that's the same application for you and me this evening. If God has given us children, mom and dad, we need to teach them the truth from the time that they're a child, right then.
Start immediately teaching them the truth. Timothy learned it when he was a child. It says that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. Now that's something that's very important to note. He wasn't just taught it or told it. Well, you're my son, so you better know this. You're my son. You just do it because you're my son. You just do it because it's right. No, they taught a young Timothy why he believed certain things and why he was to stand for certain things. And he knew the Word of God as a child. He didn't just know what he's supposed to do. He knew the Word of God. You know what that produced? A godly young man. One of the reasons why we're not rearing godly young men and young ladies is because we keep telling them what to do, but we don't show them Scripture why they're doing anything, and they have no foundation, and they're just pushed around, and then they get old enough to make their own decisions, so I'm going to try my own way, because they have no foundation. They have no foundation. If our foundation's destroyed, what are you going to do? So we teach our children the Word of God. Mom and Dad, make your children teach them the truth, have them memorize Scripture, and show them why we do what we do. So that's the Sunday school teacher's job. Wrong. So that's the pastor's job. No. That's the junior church worker's job. No. All that your Sunday school teacher and your junior church worker and all that your pastor's doing is backing up what mom and dad are teaching. If that's not the case, you're going to have problems with your kids. A lot of people like passing that responsibility onto a pastor or a youth pastor or a Sunday school teacher and say, well, you teach them, or even, a school teacher at a Christian school and say, well, it's your job to raise my children. No, it's not. It's mom and dad's responsibility. And so mom and dad make sure they learn that from a child, verse 15. And what happened? You know what happened with Timothy when he learned the Scriptures? It made him wise. You know what the first thing it made him wise to? You can answer it. What is it? What's the Word of God say? Salvation. There's nothing, nothing more important or precious than your child's salvation. You can buy them stuff and clothes and fill their closets and fill the garage with thousands of dollars of toys, and you've done them no good if you've not given them the basis and the foundation of salvation. Teach them the truth. Show them how to be saved. Now that's, I wish it wasn't this way sometimes, but it's just the fact we can't get saved for our kids. Don't you wish you could? But you can't. But we can show them. Show them from the Word of God. We can point them to the cross. By the way, mom and dad, we can live a life that backs up a changed life so that our children see Christ in us. But the Word of God made him wise first to salvation. And then you notice what happens through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. By the way, that's how you're saved. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book in front of you, it is the inspired Word of God. Amen. And our Bible says all Scripture is given. A lot of the wrong translations that are out there and the devil's translations say all Scripture given by inspiration of God. They leave out that little bitty word is. It's a very important word in this verse. If you take out that word, all you've got is all Scripture given by. In other words, some is given, some is not. But our Bible doesn't say that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book in front of us is the inspired Word of God. And it's profitable. What's it profitable for? So we can learn doctrine. That's why some of the things that are on that flag, it does matter. It does matter. Doctrine does matter. Doctrine does matter. That's what the Word of God is profitable for. Number one, to get somebody saved. But then second, the Word of God will start teaching doctrine. So who cares about doctrine? We all just need to love each other. That's not what the Word of God says. You need to learn doctrine. Doctrine does matter. That we have doctrine, then reproof. You know what reproof is? Reproof is that us, the Word of God, showing us things that are not right in our life. It's cleaning us out, making us more like Christ. It shows us the things that are not right in our life for reproof, for correction. You know what that is? That the Word of God starts to, those things that are not right, how to get rid of those things that are not right. A correcting of our life. So the Word of God gives us doctrine. First it gives us salvation. Then it gives us doctrine. Then it gives us a reproof. It shows us, here's all the things Travis Burke. And by the way, every time I read the Word of God, if my heart's in tune with God, He is showing me through the Word of God areas of my life that I need to get better more and more like Christ and improve upon. It's a reproving, saying, look at this, it's a mirror. Travis Burke, this needs to be changed. And then correction, how do I change? And then for instruction and righteousness, you know what that is? How to stay right. It shows you things that are not right, shows you how to get right, and then it shows you how to stay right. Isn't this a great book? It's the Word of God. It's profitable. It brings salvation. If it weren't for the Word of God, we'd have no salvation. Then it gives us doctrine. And then it gives us reproof. And then it gives us correction. And then it gives us gives us instruction in righteousness. Verse number 17, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That takes us back to chapter 2 and verse number 15. You know what happens then? You become a mature Christian, and then you start to walk in the Lord, and you become someone who is taught in the Word of God, and you go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. Now you can rightly divide this book, and you're a workman. God's will for every child of God is to become a workman for Jesus Christ. That we would go out and do the work in the ministry of the Lord. We go see souls saved and basically evangelize, baptize, and instruct in righteousness. Again, I said this in Institute the first month I taught, and I've said it a few times, I'll say it once more. Everything our church does ought to be to reach souls and glorify God. Everything we do to reach souls and to glorify God. Say, can you do that? Have an accord maze. Sure. Be a testimony and bring God glory. But listen, our life shouldn't be centered around corn mazes. If we never have one another time in the history of this church, in the future of this church, so what? As long as we are busy being a workman for Jesus Christ. So this passage of Scripture teaches us the Word of God and why it's here, and we'll be celebrating this year, and then basically what we'll be studying all year is that you need to be saved, you need to serve God, and you ought to live a sanctified life. Colossians 1:18, that we him in all things He would have the preeminence. Revelation 4 and verse number 11, that we all things were created for His pleasure. Psalm 56:10, we need to praise Him in His Word. Now that's all the introduction, and I only got quick things to tell you. Number one, if we're going to do this year, our means has to be correct. And what I mean by that is our foundation, everything we do, must be based on this book. Has to be on this book. I promise you this because I know my past, I know our church, and I know the way God works. There are some things that probably we do in our lives, and even here at church, that the Lord's going to show us in days ahead, we ought to change. I mean, have you ever noticed that in your life, that that's the way God works? Now He'll change it when it's time to change, when our heart's ready. But this book is constantly leading us to perfection or a maturing, a completeness. I guarantee there's things in 10 years we're going to look back and say, can you believe we used to do that? So how do you know that? Because I do that in my life now. I do that now. Anybody, you're all standing really weird. Anybody else do that now? And you look back, okay, I'm not alone, right? I mean, you look back and say, wow, I'm glad God showed me some things. I mean, I could have fun telling you stories, and you'd be like, you did not do that. Yeah, I did. It's amazing what God can do when you start searching His Word. But if we're going to stand for anything and truly celebrate the Word of God, then our means has to be correct. The foundation has to be the Word of God. Say, what are you talking about? It does matter what book you have in front of you. And I unashamedly, with all boldness, proclaim that we have the Word of God for English-speaking people right here in the King James Version sitting in front of us. I say this without any shame, that this Bible is a supernatural book. This Bible is the very words of God. That these 66 books in full, they are the final and completed revelation of God's will to man. What I mean by that is this, if somebody comes up to you and says that God told them something special, or God told them something extra biblical, they're lying to you. God gave us everything we need right here. That's why, by the way, when someone writes a book and tells you they spent 2 days in heaven or 2 hours in heaven, and they're going to show you all the things the Bible didn't tell you, it's wrong. Everything we need to know about heaven's in this book. You say, well, I like that book. It might have been a nice fiction book to read, but it wasn't real. Amen. If God gave some man special revelation or some woman special revelation to enlighten all of us Christians, then he lied in his word. Because he said it's complete. He's not a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. But I believe this is our final authority. The author of this book is the Holy Spirit. This book is the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God. Every word in this book is pure. This book's alive. Some of you young people, listen real close, teenagers, children. You have something special in your hand. You have something special. This is God's Word. This is a powerful book. Mom and Dad, make sure your children understand what this is. Make sure they respect the Word of God. They ought to read the Word of God. They ought to bring to church the Word of God. They need to know the Word of God. We reject all modern paraphrased versions. You say, why? Because they pervert the meaning of redemption. They do a great injustice to the deity of Christ. I got to keep going, but our final authority of all faith and practice is this Word of God in our hand. And all God's people said, this is the Word of God. Our means has to be correct. Second, our motivation must be correct. So what do you mean by our motivation? If we're going to celebrate the Word of God, we have to have the right motivation. So what is our motivation? Psalm 56:10, in God will I praise His Word. Our motivation ought to be this year to praise and glorify God through the Word of God. Brother Carr preached it last Sunday night. What is your motivation? Preached on it Thursday. What's your motivation? Mentioned it this morning. What is your motivation? Our motivation ought to be to praise and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that in all things He might have the preeminence. If they please listen to these words, we ought to be consumed with glorifying God. Did you hear me on that? We ought to be consumed with glorifying God. We ought to be consumed by magnifying Him. When we pray, it ought to be to glorify God. When we sing, it ought to be to glorify God. Whenever we listen to a preaching, it ought to be to glorify God. When we're driving down the road, it ought to be to glorify God. When we're playing some game, it ought to be to glorify God. Whenever we're playing or talking to some friend, it ought to be to glorify God. When we're witnessing to somebody, it ought to be to glorify God. When we're fellowshipping together, it ought to be to glorify God. When we're dressing in the morning, it ought to be to glorify God. Whenever we talk to somebody, it ought to be to glorify God. Everything we do ought to be for the praise and the honor and the glory of our great God, that in all things He might have the preeminence. We are created for His pleasure. So everything we do ought to be to please God. And we do it through His Word. Our methods need to be correct. And by that I mean if we're going to truly praise and celebrate God, we have to have the right Word of God. Our motivation needs to be to please God. And then it does matter how we do it. See, how do we figure out how to do all these things? Through this book. Through the commands and the principles and the teachings of the Word of God. We ought to do all things by the book. I so enjoyed this past year, church. I enjoyed answers to questions. We covered some serious territory this year. So we covered some questions that were hard. We covered some questions that, I taught all of us a lot of things. It changed our lives and some of the things that we studied. And God gave us a great maturing this year and a great understanding. You say, well, the year's over. Our maturing, it better not be over. We better continue looking to the Word of God. Stay in discipleship. Soul win. In Acts chapter number 17, remember the Bereans were applauded because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things are so. I mean, here's a group of people that, in the Word of God, for all of eternity, are applauded and praised. I mean, wouldn't you like to do something with your life that God would say, you know what? I want for all of eternity the people to look and commend what you've just done. I mean, I would like to accomplish something like that. Don't know that I ever will. But the Bereans did. You know what it was? They looked up everything in this book to make sure it was right. We ought to be consumed with that. Then we ought to judge, you know, and we, by the way, we don't decide what's right or wrong by what we've always done. We always look to the Word of God. And you gotta admit, you at least have a pastor who's not afraid to do that. Because I'm trying to do that. I mean, if we gotta change a flag, we'll change a flag. I mean, if we gotta, not play an invitation on Sunday nights, that's fine. Because I can't find a verse that says, thou shalt play an invitation. Can't find that. But I do find scripture where everybody ought to have an opportunity to respond to the preaching of God's Word. And if Brother Allen has to come up here and piano players to come up here, you're limiting already. And if God's Holy Spirit needs me to convict the heart, we sure don't serve much of a God. But we serve a great God who doesn't need me to convict anybody. So we might change things. Brother Slee didn't pray this year before he took up the evening offering. I mean, you have to pray for an offering. Because the Bible says, well, because it's, that's right, it's not in there. I mean, I'm not trying to look kind of weird to anybody, but I'm just trying to point out, you know, there's a lot of things we just brought in from false churches. Because once the Baptists were able to come out from hiding, then we got jealous of how churchy they were and how religious they seemed. So what we started doing is saying, well, you know, we could take that. And there's nothing wrong with it. Is there anything wrong with praying before an offering? No! We just did tonight. I do it. There's nothing wrong, but I want you to see there's nothing wrong with not either. Follow me? There's not a verse. Now, should we take up an offering? Yes! Because the Word of God says, on the first day of the week, let every one of us lay in store. Do we have to pass collection plates? No. I mean, I don't have to. The Bible says they lay at the apostles' feet. Now, Brother Mullis pointed out a verse in the Institute, which I think I have a good answer for, but even if so, there's nothing wrong with collecting an offering. We ought to collect an offering plate. I mean, we ought to collect an offering, not a plate. You can keep the plates, give the money. All right? We ought to get an offering. I mean, that's scriptural, to collect an offering. That's scriptural. You have to play a piano during it. No. You know, there's some people that get more upset over the non-scriptural things than they do the scriptural things. I mean, they go, flustered. You know, well, that's just the way we've always done it. Why? Is anything wrong with it? No. Can we do it? Sure. But isn't it amazing how it's all these extra biblical things that aren't in the Bible that seem to cause all the problems amongst people? I mean, all the squabblings are always usually over the extra biblical things. I'm leaving the church because you don't have activities every week for my kids. Can't find that. The problem is, you're not spending enough time, you feel guilty because now you're staring at each other with nothing to do because you don't have a child's heart. Amen. See, that's mean. I'm trying to share my heart tonight that there's a reason why we're doing everything we're doing. God, and I'm the first one to say, God will probably change stuff all year and change my life continually. If I'm not changing, I'm not right with Him. He ought to be changing me. But I am tired of just going through the motions of doing what everybody does just because everybody does it. We better have a biblical reason for why we do what we do. And the things that we stand for ought to have a biblical reason. Not many people, I've said it dead or dying, not met many people 36 years ago in the church who left church because the church wasn't scriptural. Because I've been in pretty good churches all my life. I met a lot of people who get upset at non-scriptural things. I haven't had anybody leave the church because his idol dropped the banner. We haven't had anybody leave the church because we've compromised on the Word of God. Follow me? You say, well, you'll never have a big church. It's probably because God knows I couldn't handle it. And that's fine. But at least we can be right. And at least we can say, if that's what's in the Word of God, then that's what I'm going to do. Let's search the Scriptures. Let's see what God's Word says. And let's do the Word of will of God. This year, as we celebrate the Word of God, I mean, I hope this don't offend anybody. I really do. But I really, have you ever, maybe as a parent or as a work at work or something, you said, you know what, something's just not right. I'm going to take a step back and check it out, and then I'll be able to see what's wrong. You ever been that way? But there's a couple of things that I've been doing in my life and in our church. Take a step back and answer, evaluate. Let's take a look at these things according to the Scriptures. I mean, by the way, there's somebody that did that years ago around here and said, you know what? When we look at mission boards, it's not found in Scripture. We better take a step back and reevaluate. And you know what? We saw it wasn't in Scripture, so we went away from that. And we firmly believe that today. Amen? Because somebody, I don't know exactly who it was, but somebody said, let's reevaluate this. And I'm glad they did. And we ought to continually do that. Now, let me say this before I get to my point. In every one of your lives, don't keep doing things because that's the only way you know how to do it. That's just the way you've always done it. This year, take a step back and say, God, you show me. Show me. I mean, I may get up and preach on how, you know, something really foolish here. Women should not wear green. That's a total falsehood, but I saw Miss Christensen, thought I'd pick on her. All right? Women shouldn't wear green, all right? And let's say that I said, you know what? I start preaching it. I may be totally off base, but I guarantee I don't have a verse for it because it isn't true. All right? And as a matter of fact, Eve wore green. We take a step back. You'll get it later. All right? You know, we take a step back. What we ought to do is at least say, all right, God, I want to look. Show me the Word of God. We can't say, I've always worn green. I'm always going to wear green. I just can't change because I'm a green person. And I'll always continue to wear green. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm a green person. And if you're going to push it, then I'll leave the church because I'm a green person. Wrong attitude. Everybody would be willing to say, all right, God, I'm going to look at your Word. Search the Scriptures. So I get back to my point. Here's another thing we're going to do, all right? Take a step back. I hope, I'm pushing it. I hope in my 6.5 years so far, I hope you're willing to go out on a limb with me a little bit. What I like to do for just a little while, and then whatever God says, is we're not going to have any specials for a while. We're not going to have any special. Because what I find in Scripture is that everybody's saying as a unity together. Say, is there anything wrong with having a special? Nope. Are we going to have a special in the future? Probably. Yes. I'll say, yeah. But for a while, I'll just take a step back. So what are we going to do if you don't replace it? You know what we're going to do in that time? Things I know the Bible says we ought to be doing. Like what? Praying. You know what we'd like to do during our special time? Just for however long. A week, 2 weeks, 6 months? I don't know. I know some of you are like, this guy lost it. Hang with me a second. You know what I'd like to do during that time? Like next Sunday night, instead of a special, someone getting up. And look, I sing in about 50%. I looked on the singing list. About 50% of the special I'm in. I didn't realize that until I looked at it, all right? And I apologize for that, all right? I'm sorry to put you through that, all right? You know, I looked at that. I'm talking about me. You know what we're going to do next Sunday night? Instead of somebody getting up singing a special, we as a church are going to get together and pray that Jeff Allen's father gets saved this year. Together. That's what we're going to do. You know what we're going to do next week? Instead of me getting up singing a special, which who cares if I sing a special? Because there isn't a verse in the Bible that says you ought to sing a special. There are verses in the Bible that we as a church should sing. You know, you say, well, you have to have specials. Well, they're not doing it for any wrong purpose. I'm not saying they are. But I am saying this, if it's all just about glorifying God, why won't you sing a special? Well, you say, well, because I can't sing really good. So your purpose is not to glorify God? You say, well, because I don't want to get in front of people. What's your purpose? So I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying we're going to take a step back and we're just going to use that time for a little bit different purpose for a while. And it gives us all time to catch our breath and say, now let's reevaluate. And next time that Brother Allen gets up and sings, or I get up and sing, or me and him and Brother Moses get up and sing, you know what we're going to do? You better believe we're going to evaluate, why am I doing this? I'm doing it for one purpose, to bring honor and glory to a great God. And I don't care if I don't hit every note just exactly right, and I don't care if I'm putting on some show, I'm not doing that. And by the way, you never think those thoughts when we all stand and turn the page whatever and sing, do we? Because our purpose is just to sing praise to God. Which is the only type of singing you find that you ought to do in the Bible, that you must do in the Bible. You know, I can only imagine this. Can you imagine the wonderful voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's never been a singer like Him, I guarantee it. He's perfect. But you even find Jesus singing in the midst of the church. If anybody had a right to stand up and sing a special, and been the most beautiful special this earth ever heard, it'd have been Him. But He sang and made a point to tell us in the midst of the church. Anything wrong with singing a special? No. We gonna do it again? Yeah, sure we will. For a while, we're gonna take a step back. I know this, we ought to be praying. I know this, we ought to be learning Scripture. I know this, the church is there for training and instruction. You see, we got to make sure that our mode's right. Me as a preacher, you know what I've been doing in the last 6-7 months? Take a step back. Why am I preaching this message? You know what caused me to start preaching a lot more through Scripture and expository preaching? Because I found myself trying to get sermons that had quickie little phrases and nice little catchy lines and a perfect little illustration just so I can tweak everybody's emotion and get them to come forward, which is what a lot of churches are filled with. Which is going to leave people anemic spiritually. Because we need to know the Word of God. So I started asking myself a question, why am I preaching this message? If my purpose in every message that I preach is not so Jake and Brother Carr and Mrs. Carr and Brother Miss Twilly can mature in the Lord and grow stronger in the Lord and get strength from the Word of God and grow and perfect and mature in all things of the Lord, if that's not my purpose in my preaching, I don't have no business preaching. My purpose in preaching is not to see people get saved and people grow in the Lord. I have no business standing behind this pulpit. So we take a step back. We ask ourselves every time we get up, why am I doing this? See, I want to celebrate God's Word this year. And if we're going to do it, our means have got to be correct. It starts right here. Our motivation has to be correct to bring glory and honor to God. Our methods have to be correct. Does it line up with the Word of God? You know what that will result in? Hear this and we'll pray. Our mind will be correct. We will start thinking the way God wants us to think. We're going to have the mind of God. Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know how we get the mind of God? Through the Word of God. This is the mind of God. Say, how do I get to know? How does God feel about this sin? You can ask anybody you want to, but the only way you're going to really know how God feels about something is getting the mind of God on it. How does God want me to live my life? You can ask, you can read 100 different books, they got them out there, but this is the authority. This is the mind of God. This will show us, so we go back to the mind of God, and what happens when we have the means is right, and our foundation is right, and our motivation is right, and everything I'm doing is to bring honor and glory to God, and my methods are right, and I'm lining up everything I do to the Word of God, you know what's happened? I'm getting the mind of God. What the greatest need of God's people are tonight is that we would think and act according to the mind of God. You know what would change our church? If all of us just saw everything the way God sees it. So we're going to celebrate the Word of God. We're going to have some cake tonight. And we'll do the celebrating part tonight. But what we're going to strive to do with all our heart this year is do everything for the honor and the glory of a great God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. in everything we do, may we look at this book and say, God, is it right? Not is it the way I've always done it. Not is it just because it makes me feel good. Is it right? The things that aren't lining up, we can't celebrate God's word living a life of disobedience to it. So if we got to take a step back, let's do it. But let's do things for the honor of God. Father, I pray you take this invitation. I pray you use it.